Happy New Year, lads. Hope you're doing great. Today's video, I want to talk about how monk mode is actually a sign of spiritual or energetic scarcity. This might seem to be an unusual thing to say because so many people in the space admire monk mode. It's something that we talk about often at the start of the year. Lock in, do one thing, focus on one thing, one thing at a time, essentialism. I've come to find that the periods in my life in which I've been the most focused on essentialism, doing one thing, you know, locking in, a lot of this reflection about how can I cut stuff out of my life. Genuinely, those are the periods in which I've been the most depressed. This might seem weird to say, but think about it. The people who are the most admirable, who are doing the best, there is a sentiment of consistent forward progression. They don't have time to worry about what has come or what is to come. There's something so incredibly attractive about staying in the state of motion. Robert Greene, in his book, The 33 Strategies of War, talks about the concept of qi. Qi is this Chinese Taoist term, but it's very much attached to momentum. He said that when soldiers are kept idle, like in a battle, they're kept in one place, they're stuck, there's nothing for them to do, that is when morale begins to drop. But if you keep your soldiers active, you always press forward, never defensive, always in a state of attack, then things are going to go really well. And I find that in my life, the periods in which I've been the most successful, financially, spiritually, otherwise, even my sense of heat, sense of energy, having this all attractive energy around me, the things have gone the best when I haven't stopped to consider my plan. And on the opposite end, if I stick around to be like, okay, how can I be more essential? How can I cut stuff out of my life? That is when I'm most stuck. Like in 2024, in the winter of end of 2023, start of 24, I had just fired my whole team. That is when I was the most stuck in my life. And I was consistently thinking, how can I remove things out of it? How can I remove things? How can I simplify my strategy so that I can have an effective year moving forward? Because I wanted to start 2024 off in a way in which 2023 didn't end. That is actually, I find, the wrong way to think. And in fact, my good friend Nate, who was with me for a lot of that time, he noticed and he said to me, man, you used to do B-roll shoots all the time. You used to film, you used to do acting stuff. There was such an energy around your channel. Now you just go for on like these 3-hour long walks. and you're trying to do less and you're scripting more simply and you're not working on as much stuff. And it's like your ambitions are less dedicated. You know, what's going on? And I told him, you know, my business coach, people I admire, Anthony Vecino, this really successful and lovely client of mine, everyone said, be more essential. Even if I watch videos of Alex Hormozi, you know, you see it across the board from the most successful people. They say, be more essential. Focus on one thing. Make one party really great. Don't focus on throwing 3 different parties. And you find that that becomes true, but let it become true almost accidentally. Don't ruminate or reflect on what you can cut out. Simply do what is in your attention. Simply do what is in your capacity and actually try to fit in as much as possible. And you will find that the things that should naturally get cut out, they get cut out anyway. They get cut out anyway. Here's a quick example. Let's say I have 2 concurrent goals in my life right now. One is to finish River Rats 2, so the second part of a feature film. And the other is to get the Data Architect Salesforce exam. It's a really hard one. It's my first architect level exam. Now, someone like Hormozi or someone who's more dedicated in fitness, they might say, okay, you need to simply focus only on the data architect exam. Put 12 hours a day into the data architect exam. My business coach, John, really a good friend at this point, he would say, do one thing, go all in on one thing, data architect exam. If it's Ironman, you know, people would tell you, okay, read all the books, do all the things, only Ironman, every live, breathe, sleep Ironman every day, and you will get a tremendous results. But one begins to find that after 2 or 3 hours of study for that data architect exam or anything in Salesforce, anything in tech, anything in coding, on any one given day, if I study for 2 or 3 hours, after hour 3, hour 4 at the most, I have lost all inspiration for that task. I've lost all inspiration for it. The first 3 hours, if I do 3 hours a day, 6 days a week, 18 hours of study in a week, that feels very inspired. It's a tremendous effort. It feels very sharp. If you force me to put in a 10-hour day, like Hormozi often says, you know, put in a 10-hour day, 12-hour day, 16-hour day on one thing, grind it until you're absolutely miserable. Like he almost takes pride in the misery of the work. Well, I think very quickly for many of us, these endeavors would begin to bleed through. Many of these coaching clients that I've had in the past, they talk to me so much about essentialism that they really just come out as completely inert people. Like in your effort to do essentialism, in your effort to do only the essential few that really matter, you end up doing nothing. You end up staring at the wall. Complete lack of inspiration, complete lack of style or swagger or anything compelling. On the opposite end, let's say I pursue two or three different goals at the same time. I could wake up in the morning, edit for 2 hours, do a 2,000 meter swim in preparation for an Ironman prep, take the afternoon off, pre-production, shoot for River Rats 2 hours in the evening, and I could still sneak in an hour in the evening time to study Salesforce. I can do all three arcs, Ironman, River Rats, and the feature film, all in one day. And it's a full productive day. In fact, one finds that working on a feature film, which if any of you have done, you realize that it's a logistical puzzle. 90% of making a film is solving the problem of pre-production. It's not in writing the script. It's not in filming. It's not even in editing, although that is a taxing job. The problem is pre-production. I have a gala scene that I'm shooting next sometime this month. And for that, I need to coordinate between 6 different actors and me and the crew. It's going to be a bigger crew this time. And I need to get approval from the security at this museum that we're shooting at. And I need to find one cohesive day for everything for that to work for everyone involved. The actors, the crew, and so on. It is a logistical puzzle trying to figure out and then who's going to come in at what hour. I cannot work on a movie full time no matter how hard I try. At least not at the independent filmmaker level. And I feel very few people can. Maybe I can say no one can. No one can unless you have a budget of at least $200,000. A bigger budget, 90% of your budget will be spent simply on speeding up the logistics of production, because basically you can book people all day, book locations all day. You can have things line up in consecutive days. You can shoot for 12 days straight. That's where you're going to end up spending the money. But if you're trying to play that money sharp, if you're trying to make every dollar a soldier, you will find that you shoot a little bit here or there. Even Christopher Nolan, when he was working on Following, he would shoot a little bit here or there on the weekends for a year. This is my Following. This is my little Following, this River Rats film of mine. And I cannot work on it without like the blazing intensity of working on this film project. It looks like 11 hours every 2 weeks. And in those 11 hours, if I do the pre-production, location scouting, if I get the actors, if I get the crew involved, and even if I sit down to edit, every 2 weeks with 11 hours of work, I can add on 2 to 4 minutes of the timeline in the edit. That is how much is involved. That still leaves me 300 hours every 2 weeks to do other stuff, to work on a YouTube channel, to open up a new cohort, to work on a school community, to work, train for the Ironman, to put on muscle. You have more time than you think. What is missing in so many people's lives is this energetic abundance to attack the work. So I find that it's best to set 2 or 3 agendas in any season. For those of you who watch my second channel, you would know that we are now entering season dark, and that's because it aligns with the release of Christopher Nolan's Odyssey film, the trailer for that. I was so inspired by that. I was like, yes, January is here. We're now in season dark. These are like the most miserable months possible in Minnesota, and I love it. I love it because I'm going guns a-blazing in all these things that I'm involved with. It feels very, very good. It feels very true. But I am sharp enough now to know that there is, in fact, time enough for everything. There is time enough for everything if you actually do not question and do not hesitate with the plan. In fact, even now with the YouTube channel, this has been nearly 15 or 16 weeks in a row, aside from 1 week where I did an Ironman, in which I've been weekly consistent with Captain Sinbad and weekly consistent with Sinbad Trains, all in the midst of doing so much other stuff. This represents almost like 10% or 15% of my weekly effort. There's so much that's going on behind the scenes in terms of my location scouting, working, learning, growing, striving, making money, closing sales, all that stuff. So much going on behind the scenes, and yet I'm able to maintain a weekly log that's consistent with the channel. Why is that? You drop the hesitation. You stop the overthinking. You lay out the arc before you. You find that you actually have time enough for everything. I have talked to enough people now. So many people, incredibly successful people, like solidly successful people. The biggest thing, it is not a barrier of time. It is not even a barrier of money. Money is not the barrier. I mean, listen, I used to think it was. I used to think it was money that was stopping me from doing the things that I needed to do. Money has nothing to do with it at all. It really just starts with an energetic abundance. If that abundance is there, if you feel sharp, if you feel like you're being propelled forward, like by destiny, just as Odysseus was, raging against the gods, sailing across the Aegean Sea, trying to get back to Ithaca, that element must be there. You must feel as if you're being carried forward by some divine purpose. And if you do, everything will be there. So moving into the new year now, the season is upon us. Let us not stop to overthink. And I would implore you, do not be a minimalist. Do not be an essentialist. Let the essentialism of your life take care of itself. If you focus all your hours, if your aim is true, then the non-essential will by itself fall away. You don't need to do it actively. You don't need to stare at the wall wondering what your strategy is. So many coaching clients of mine, I'm like, okay, start a school, start a business backend that looks like this. They haven't done it. They want to figure it out. They spend their time ruminating, wondering, compelling themselves to take action, setting a course and then changing it again. That is not the way. That is not going to get you the year that you want. You have two or three intentions that matter this year. The secret is that you actually do have time for everything. I'm serious. You have time to get a promotion at your job, put on 3 or 4 pounds of muscle. You have time enough for everything. Are you using up all the time that you've got? Some of the most compelling people in business that I have come across in the online space. I mean, these guys have gotten to Kona, which is the Ironman World Championships, for full. That is a 20 to 30 hour per week training program. And they have done it by waking up at 5 a.m., doing the workouts, 3 hour long bike rides, 90 minute long swims, all that stuff. And they train on top of that, like they lift too, and they still have time to grow their business. Don't put limitations on yourself on what you can get done. Casey Neistat was $200,000 in debt and had like a 9-year-old kid when he started the daily vlog. And he got it done. He grew a channel. He did it with the family. He went for runs in the morning. He actually worked out twice a day. He was able to figure it out. One of my most admired people who I came across in the last 4 years of my life, Eric Floberg. He has 4 kids. He's grown a YouTube channel. He has a successful wedding videography business. You actually do have time to get it all done. You can do a lot. The secret then is to not get stuck in your deliberation. Don't let yourself get stuck in that. If you simply attack the work, then there's no need to enter monk mode. There's no need for it. You can talk to people, you can take on endeavors, you can let the Lollapalooza effect, the luck factor, the surface area of luck in your life increase. You can let all these things happen simply by stepping forward, staying in motion, getting that work done. We're not entering monk mode, we're simply doing the work. Greatness is coming, we'll catch you in the next one.